I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
it is Friday. We are here, meaning the weekend is upon us.
Woo.
Love these short work weeks. We talked about it with Memorial Day weekend.
Damn right.
Everyone's talking about what went down in the finals last night, and rightfully so. You had controversy. You had blown calls. You had great plays. We're going to get into all of that along the way here on the program. Coming up at 2:40, mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Chris McCann, who hopefully will give us some insight into our Atlanta United. Moving forward, guys, a draw again in New England, but we haven't been as good at home, Mike, as we'd like.
Yeah, you're supposed to win all your games at home and look for draws on the road, but yeah, it's been strange the way this last couple of games have gone down. And we've had a lot of people talking about, you know, the VAR and how it's used or not used the right way. I think we got to get out of that loser mentality about complaining about the refs. I mean, like, I bellyached. I gave guys the link to the commission because there are, truth be told, issues with how the replay is being used, but you still have to make the shot. When you've got the kind of opportunities that we've had to score, and this isn't just what happened in New England. You know, Miggy, for all the great things he does, he's got to pull the trigger. You know, and Barco, I mean, you got to tip your cap to the goalkeeper for doing, but we got to make more shots. So let's get away from the bellyache and let's get back to, you know, thumping people at home like we should.
Well, I agree. And we had, what, 7-8 opportunities to score, and we didn't do it. So you're absolutely right. As much as I do want to point the finger at the officiating because it sucks, we got to score when we get an opportunity. So Chris McCann will join us coming up a little bit later on this hour, guys. I do want to remind you, and I will continue to remind you, about the Dukes and Bell beer. And we're asking you to help us out by helping us name our brew. And we've gotten some great suggestions already, over 200 and some odd entries. And again, there's nothing for this. This is just to kind of formulate some ideas. You're not going to win $1 million. This is trying to help the show, man, and to know that you were a part of possibly naming
now,
our beer.
I do think we could probably throw some beer your way.
No doubt.
You know, but it's basically for a bucket full of pride. But anyway, so you mean I don't get nothing? But anyway, we've got over 200 entries, and we do appreciate you guys helping us out. So name the beer. Go to 929thegame.com. Again, it is a 5% alcohol by volume, a delicious blonde ale. Tasty. It's a refreshing brew, but it's hearty enough to be a 24/7, 12-month-a-year brewski, man.
Thank you, guys, out at Oconee Brewery. So, again, once we have the big launch party and everything, we're going to do a big deal out there. And hopefully you guys will be able to come hang out with us. We're talking about getting the party bus. There's all kind of plans at play right now. But before we get there, we got to name the brew. We got to name the beer.
By the way, today at the gym over at LA Fitness, over in Midtown, my guy looks like Debo. You know, he's done security before at Georgia. You know, big guy. He goes, they're going to come in quarts? I said, well, I don't
40 ounces.
I'm not sure, sir. I think just right now we're going to start with 12-ounce cans. But anyway, good question.
It is, man. Hopefully it'll come each and any way you want it, all right? That's what we're hoping for. All right, man. Listen, last night, and I got to tell you, I was that guy last night. You ever been at your kids' events, whether it's a sporting event, whatever it might be, your kids have something going on.
Right.
And because of Xfinity, you're able to take, and I know other cable outlets or companies do this, but you're able to basically watch these shows on your phone.
So you were like that dad at an event watching sports while the daughter was performing on stage.
Absolutely. Last night, you know, and because they had a schedule, she's with this dance group.
Yes.
And they're putting on their big show this weekend, and it, you know, it culminates all year long. And so it's going on. So that'll be half of my day tomorrow. But the deal was last night, I'm like, you know the NBA Finals is on. I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, you know the Finals is on. She's like, I know, I know. So I'm like, it's dark in here. Everybody's going to see my phone on and watching me watch this.
You're going to dim it down, man.
Well, I'm trying to. So literally, I'm like checking scores first half. I'm trying to watch a little bit of it. But, you know, guys, the first half of that game last night, yes, it was entertaining, but it was tied up. And you go to the half, and Mike was talking about this. You know, we're going to get plenty into J.R. Smith's gaffe. But as I looked back at this game and the way it played out last night, Cleveland blew a lot of opportunities. You know, and I think before the JR gaffe, we forget with 4.7 seconds left, there's a missed free throw by George Hill that could have put them up and only given Golden State an opportunity to maybe go down and win the game or miss. But he misses that free throw, which leaves you tied, which then leads you to the rebound by J.R. Smith. And what does he do?
Right. Now, I mean, we can get into the parallel universe. You know, did Golden State have a timeout there? They get the ball at half court and inbound, you know. So, yeah, they probably would have had a good look knowing how well that team shoots. That said, it's more than just the J.R. Smith play. You're right. But J.R. Smith was being J.R. Smith. Let's take it back to before halftime where you're up. The Cavs would be going into halftime, into the locker room with a lead. J.R. Smith goes for a ridiculous attempt at a steal. Curry now has a wide open look for a three, and of course he nails it. And now you got momentum for the Warriors, and they're back in stride. So there's a lot of moments, but yeah, J.R. Smith does what he does best. He's an idiot. The guy has always been an idiot. He's an idiot. He's a defensive liability. He's made some big shots in his life. Knicks fans have seen it. And LeBron and the Cavs tried to trade him at the trade deadline. There were no takers. I looked it up today in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. They couldn't get anybody to take him because the contract was too big. What's left on it? So this is your lot in life. Michael Jordan never had to play with J.R. Smith. Further evidence, if you are going to do the LeBron versus Jordan, that LeBron is doing more with less than Michael ever did.
LeBron was fabulous last night. End of story. There's nothing to even talk about. He dominated in every facet. He looked like a man among boys, and he's playing on the court with three of the best players in the NBA, maybe of all time. We'll see where that ends. But with that said, this game came down to really two plays. All right? The overturned charge play, which, Mike, in the moment, full speed, that's a charge. Should have been Cavaliers ball. No rooting interest here. For me, and let's be clear, I want drama. I could care less if the Cavs or the Warriors win. I want a seven-game series so we can talk about it and hopefully be entertained. Should have been a charge. And the other play, obviously, is the J.R. Smith rebound. You've got 4.7 seconds, and he's running to who knows where and trying to get the ball to LeBron, and then it's a block shot, bad overtime.
But, you know, we talked about how the Atlanta United has dealt with VAR. We had that crazy ruling in the Sporting Kansas City game where it was an interpretation we were not expecting. And that's kind of how it went down last night with the charge or the foul. And I just, you know, he wasn't anywhere near the stripe, so that you can't use that as a reference point. So a lot of there were some analysts last night and former refs who said they got it wrong. In real time, it looks like a charge.
There was no indisputable evidence to change that call for me. And if you've watched it over and over, and I did because I wanted to be clear on my point of view.
Now, if you super slow-mo, one of his feet is dragging.
Well, yes. But again, refs see it in real time.
Right.
And there was not enough evidence for me to go, I'm going to overturn that call. By the way, just to put it in perspective, it's never been called in the finals, ever. As a matter of fact, I'm probably willing to tell you, you've never been to a game where that's happened.
Right.
It's happened maybe 10 times in the NBA. So that call was BS. Whether you want Cleveland or Golden State to win, give us a even playing field, right? That's all you want. So either way it goes, I think that is a call that we'll be talking about for a long time. Here is LeBron on the charge play. This is what he had to say in regards to it. This was after the game on the overturned charge play that I thought really at that moment, you know, you talk about LeBron goes to the basket. It was an and one with 50 seconds left. And then he hits the free throw. They're up two. If they get the ball back right there, there's 36 seconds left. And now Cleveland has the ball. They could have run it the whole clock down. You would have had to foul. It changes the whole complexity of the game.
I thought I read that play just as well as I read any play in my career defensively. Seeing the drive, I was outside the charge line. I stepped in, took the contact. It's a huge play. It's a huge play.
It's a bang-bang play, too, Mike.
Right. And, you know, Kenny Maurer, I was thinking Tommy Heinsohn calling games to the Celtics. Oh, there's Kenny Maurer. Should go home to his wife because nobody here loves him. But, you know, Kenny Maurer, they took the time. They looked at it. Just it's something that we're – replay is a slippery slope. And that's why when we first went to it and, you know, all these years and all the sports, sometimes it creates these situations where, you know, we didn't have this 20 years ago. And it's a very strange – set of circumstances which results in the in how the call eventually gets overturned.
What did the refs tell LeBron they were looking at?
We were told that they were viewing if I had my feet outside the line, and when I knew that, I was like, okay, that's going to be our ball. I knew I was outside the charge line, so that's what the communication was to us. And we were over on the sideline drawing up a play, you know, to try to execute, try to go up a couple possessions.
I thought it was outside the line, but not only that, again, if you can tell me there was indisputable evidence that that should have been overturned, I think that's the issue.
So we've talked about the George Hill missed free throw, that play, obviously the J.R. Smith stupidity on two ends, you know. And then, of course, what about LeBron trying to get it to Hill with that pass that goes to the that hits the stanchion when he's double-teamed? Some people are saying, why is LeBron trying to fight through the double-team? I mean, it's a smart basketball play in retrospect, but some people thought, well, you know, I don't know. See, that's me like 10 years ago. Michael would have done something.
Are you talking about the end of the game?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant play. I mean, Hill is cutting to the basket. Klay Thompson is basically around his neck.
Right.
You got to call that. So, to me, that's a great play by your playmaker, who then, by the way, puts George Hill at the line to put you up. He'll make your free throws.
So that's what I'm saying. But this is the Skip Baylesses of the world. And I mean, and by the way, you know, I was – there's many things, guys, in the sports arguments I think that some guys hang on to for way too long. You and I – how many years do you and I argue about Michael versus LeBron? And if he loses this finals, obviously that would have been 3-6 in the finals, 3-7 in the finals. You know, I mean, it's apples to oranges. It's a different vibe. The guy went for 51. Hey, and by the way, Kevin Love, we said, can he give you 20? He did. You know, he actually had over 70 points between the two of them.
Mike.
But there's just not the supporting cast that Michael ever had in any of these games.
No. Especially this particular group of Cavaliers. And by the way, the Cavs out-rebounded Golden State last night. Their attack offensively, I thought was great. We're going to talk more about it. They did almost everything right except win the game. And you could go back to these calls, obviously, but you can also talk to J.R. Smith, who you'll hear from coming up.
Hey, before we give away the money with our national signing bonus contest, the only area you've got to tip your cap to Michael Jordan over LeBron was Michael would never wear a goofy-ass outfit like LeBron last night.
What are you talking
about?
That
was the stupidest
the suit?
Look. Oh, that was the most ridiculous looking. You don't wear shorts with a suit. Angus Young from AC/DC looks ridiculous, and he's pushing 65.
Well, yeah, Boys the Men, that's right. I mean, forgot about just, that
yeah.
look.
Yeah, yeah. Bad look, Holmes. That's a bad look.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Slipper, S-L-I-P-P-E-R. Slipper is the word. Text it to 72881 right now for your chance to win some cold, hard cash.
The slipper might have fit if you could steal a game in Golden State. Not the case. Slipper, S-L-I-P-P-E-R. You text that to 72881. Don't text and drive. You got a few minutes. Slipper is the word for the 2 o'clock hour for the $1,000.
What did J.R. Smith have to say about his gaffe? You'll hear it next on Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. If you're out and about in this rain, be safe. All right? Drive the way you need to drive. Don't drive like Mike Bell. Hey,
what?
Real quick, you know, part of the dispute with JR, and I think a reason why a lot of people are ticked off at JR, whether you're a Cavaliers fan or not, and by the way, they did not cover the 13, is because JR has to own it. And when you screw things up in sports, things like this happen, okay? Rarely at this level when you talk about the NBA Finals. But when you screw up a game or a play or a situation where your team should have won, you just got to come out and go, I screwed it up. The problem is JR is trying to deny this. If you read his lips like I did last night, he clearly says to LeBron, I thought we had the lead.
Yeah, and his coach Tyronn Lue answers the question in the press conference, basically saying, yeah, he thought we had the lead. LeBron, by the way, got frustrated because, I mean, what do you – and by the way, I know people are giving LeBron heat, Carl, for walking away, you know, stepping away from the dais. I think when you're at that point, what are you supposed to do? You're to throw your teammate under the bus and screw up any chance of salvaging this series?
No doubt.
Here was a game where, I mean, normally I'd be all over an athlete for leaving in that environment, but there's just no wins. It's a no-win scenario. Yes, my teammate is a moron, and he's completely ridiculous. His situational awareness is pathetic, and now I have trouble. No, because you can't do that either. And once the play went down, they looked like five strangers all sitting 3 feet apart from each other before overtime. You knew Cavs were dead in the water.
They were done. I tweeted out they had their chance. As soon as overtime went down. And Golden State goes on a 7-0 run to start the overtime. It was a done deal. But you're absolutely right. Privately, he killed him. Publicly, nothing to say about it, because you're absolutely right. If this dude's going to show up for you over the next six games, if he's going to do that, you better get his head right.
And here's the thing about J.R. Smith. He could very easily hit some big shots for you like he did in the Boston series, because that's what makes him so exasperating. You know, it's almost like Manny being Manny. He's a flake. Look, just let's not. And guys, you want to sugarcoat it? You want to dance around it? The guy is a colossal flake. Okay, I mean, he always has been, but he also has had some clutch in him, but not last night, man. Complete lack of situational awareness, like Chris Webber against UNC.
Yeah,
take your pick, man.
Yeah, and those things are tough to swallow in the moment, but you got to own up to it, you know. And for years, I don't know if you guys, Chris Webber wouldn't even talk about that when that went down. It was like for years, It's okay to say I screwed it up. And you keep it moving. Chris Webber made a lot of money in his career, went on to a great career. He's doing a great job as a broadcaster. But when things like this happen, JR is trying to front and like, oh, well, that's not what I said. As a matter of fact, hear him here where he talks about the final play, and he says he was trying to get space from KD. No, you had no awareness of what the clock read.
Tie ball game. We had a timeout, and I was trying to get enough space because I obviously KD was standing right there. Trying to get him space to bring it out to get it, maybe get a shot off. And then I see him, I looked over at Brian. He looked like he was trying to call a timeout, so I just stopped. And then the game was over.
You see what had happened was.
It sounds like mush mouth on like Fat Albert, you know what I mean? Like, hey, Fab, what we go, oh.
But you know, Mike, thing. It reminds me of when I was a kid and you tried to get away with a lie. And you just, like, you're sitting there and you're going, well, I mean, we ran over there. And then when we got there, I mean, you are searching.
Right.
Just, dude, I pulled it out. I didn't realize there were 4.7 seconds. LeBron's looking at me, timeout. I blew it. It's over.
Yeah, just own it. That's all you can do. But again, that's the thing which gets people losing their minds, because he can't even give you a straight answer because he's trying to spin this. Come on, dude. It's like you're like Pinocchio. It's like this is the nose you just could be growing. And the thing also, look, I saw last night, I argued about this with a couple of guys on Twitter. They said, why doesn't Tyronn Lue call a timeout? Because I think Tyronn Lue is so stunned at what's happening.
Everybody
I think Tyronn Lue is going, what the is he doing? And the presence of mind wasn't there that nobody's going to go in timeout because he's running away. He's going the wrong way from the basket with the ball when he was in perfect position for a putback, or at least kick it out to LeBron there.
I think everybody was. Real quick, before we get to headlines, I want you to hear both sides. These are the radio calls, okay? Of the J.R. Smith dribbling out regulation instead of potentially just putting it right back up when he was in the lane. This is Golden State. This is their radio call of that play.
Hill bends, spins, shoots. It's short. Rebound grabbed by J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith dribbles it to the far side, throws to Hill. The game is tied at 107. We're going to overtime. We've got five more minutes. What a crazy finish. J.R. Smith thought they had the lead. He dribbled it out to midcourt.
What is he doing? Well, that's J.R. Smith.
Hello.
What is he doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's basic stuff, guys. And I know that people try. I mean, if you're trying to spin it for J.R. Smith, maybe you're a tattoo artist and you're looking for the only available space left on his body, which would be his forehead. Let's hear the Cleveland side of how this went down as J.R. Smith dribbles away to immortality or infamy.
4 seconds still remain. The Warriors do have a timeout. George Hill again takes the basketball. Three deliberate dribbles. A 10-year veteran with a moderate knee bend. It's up. It's short. It's grabbed by J.R. Smith. Smith is going to run it out. I think J.R. didn't know how much time was left. J.R. could have dribbled up near the timeline, and we're going to overtime. Oh, my goodness. I think J.R. thought the Cavs had the lead. He grabbed the loose ball, dribbled up near midcourt, and by the time he decided to pass it to somebody, the clock had expired. We're going to overtime.
Yeah, listen, he kept it above board. I got to be honest. If I was broadcasting that game, I would have probably lost it. I mean, it is what it is. Cavs down 1-0 in this series. I will say this. The chippiness at the end with Tristan Thompson and Draymond, this could be a good series. This could end up being a good series. And if you thought Cleveland had no chance, which most of us did, right, they actually had a really good game plan last night and executed it. And it was almost rocket-ish with LeBron at the top of the key playing the role of James Harden and kind of doing what he wants to do and creating for those shooters. I don't know if it's going to work, but this could be interesting. And maybe it gets a little bit more physical. And maybe, Mike, they find a way, as I've said, to win at least two games. I still do not have the Cavs winning this series. But it's going to take that kind of monumental effort to do it.
I think they're dead in the water, brother. I think it ended with that shot. I really do. I think you could steal one on the road, and most you could really give them a great shot because you feel Korver's going to shoot better. They're going to feel better at home. J.R. Smith's going to shoot better at home. But, yeah, they blew it. And I don't know what was going on there. I mean, I don't know what Tristan Thompson was thinking. You expect them to just let the 24-second clock roll out? You're going to take a shot?
It's 2.6 seconds. The shot clock runs out. You're still winning the game. It's 114. It's 122-114. Whether he shoots the ball or not, I think, again, here we go, unspoken rule. Dude, y'all are going to win. There's no reason to shoot that. Shot clock's going to run out. And I didn't think, by the way,
risk a suspension, though, to risk missing a game with some shenanigans like that, though?
I think that was a weak call by the referee. I really do. And I think when the league reviews it, they'll see as much. Here's Tristan on that play.
I mean, Sean's a smart player. He's been in the league for a long time. I played with Sean, so he knows. He knows, but he shot the shot. Maybe he wanted to increase his points per game. I don't know. That was some bull, but I just did a contest.
And he contested. Obviously, things get heated. It's we'll see. Sunday is game two, man. It's Dukes and Bell. You guys can always hit us up. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to talk to Chris McCann from Atlanta United coming up in 10 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to some other headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Braves get a great start from Sean Newcomb. Mike, are you willing to say this guy's the ace now? Maybe we were thinking Folty. It's supposed to be, Julio Teheran. I'm starting to believe that Newcomb might be the guy.
Remember, he gets roughed up by the Nationals in the debut back in April. And since then, he's been 6-0, 2.16 is the ERA. And even after giving up a run early, he steps up and also hustles out. And if he doesn't run out that double play ball to beat it, you don't score another run. So a combination of small ball and some big ball in there. But great finish. And also surprised and happy that the bullpen doesn't squander it. Because these are the moments where the bullpen's going to be called on, and they did not screw things up. And I thought it was a really solid win. Strasburg, by the way, goes up against Folty. Once hopefully the rain gets out of the way, we'll have blue skies over SunTrust. But if you feel that Nationals are a little vulnerable right now with the injuries, well, then take this series from them and maintain this lead.
Albies with great base running last night after the Freddie Freeman hit in the bottom of the third. It was a double for Freeman, but a gaffe, speaking of gaffes, at second base for the Nationals. It really allowed Albies to come home. Here's Brian Snitker talking about Sean Newcomb.
I looked up, and I think it was like 10-0 balls and no strikes. And then I looked up in the sixth. He had just completely turned that thing around. I mean, that was so good to see that how he started out. And just to give up one run in that first inning was huge, huge. But he just never quit pitching. Again, he's going pitch to pitch. It wasn't working early, but I don't feel like he stopped that approach.
I mean, as we said, Newcomb has been on fire since his first start. And then, again, for the bullpen, Dan Winkler and then Aroldis Vizcaíno finish it off. And Vizcaíno, by the way, gets his 10th save and 12 chances. So we've been talking about the bullpen. It's been a little hit or miss, but that's good last night. Keep it up.
They need to outpitch this great starting pitching that the Nationals have. We're not going to see Scherzer, but they've got Gio Gonzalez. His ERA is 2.10. They've got Strasburg, obviously, who's on the hill tonight, 3.13. Tanner Roark, 3.1. They got great starting pitching. If our pitching can out-duel them like Newcomb did last night, the offense gives you a shot. But that's the thing the Nationals do have that I think is better than the Braves right now. Meanwhile, as we talked about the NBA Finals, and we'll get more into that, guys, and we'll actually open up the phones and get your thoughts on last night's game coming up a little bit later on. Falcons get $3.5 million in cap relief, Mike, and we were talking about this off the air. This is a result of the post-June 1 designation. Basically, Levine Tololo being let go, they're getting $3.5 million back.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, well, how are they going to use that? Again, that's just more money under the cap.
Right. Again, as the NFL calendar year plays out, and this is when the money, to Carl's point, is freed up. Also, Julio Jones, we'll talk more about this at the top of the hour in the NFL Blitz, but Julio doing some charity work, hanging out with QB1 with Cam Newton up in the Charlotte area.
I'm sorry?
Said to Julio up there, again, there's no OTAs for him to miss today. And he's like, he's doing charitable work. I'm never going to yell at a guy for doing that. And he's up there hanging out with Cam, doing some work for the kids.
I'm sorry?
Julio up with the Carolina Panthers, doing some charity work today. It's not a, look, you know what? Again, as I said on Twitter earlier in the week, he's put him up, see, Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Follow the station at 92.9 The Game. Not going to argue with this, because if Julio gets in the end zone and we're scoring 8 or 9, 10 touchdowns this year, then we have to worry about this OTA stuff. But if we don't, and we can all point back to the lack of synergy in the passing game, which starts with Julio not being here for OT.
By the way, what's your percentage that he gets 10 touchdowns this season?
If I was a betting man,
yeah,
I would say 20-1.
Okay,
maybe higher.
Okay,
I mean I don't trust Sarkisian. That's part of it.
All right, is 8 to 10 too much to ask?
No. Well, if you think you're Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham, what these guys do, or the other elite touchdown scorers in the NFL, then go get it.
All right. And by the way, I'm never going to frown on a guy giving back to the community. Mike and I always talk about this. For all that Cam gets criticized for, dude always has given back to the kids.
Big time.
Love that. For Julio to be there, cool. Falcons are not working out. You guys know how I feel about this OTA thing. Let's talk when it matters. And that's the season, because for me, I want all my best players getting the reps. And that's what this is about. The main thing for me is, and I want you to think about this for a second. If you're asking for an updated contract, wouldn't you be doing everything in your power to make sure that you're involving yourself in every stinking thing that matters?
I would.
Just asking. That's all I'm saying. Hey, we're coming back, man. We're going to talk to our man Chris McCann from our Atlanta United next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Try and get him space to bring it out to get it, maybe get a shot off. And then I see him, I looked over at Brian. He looked like he was trying to call timeout, so I just stopped.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something. I offered you a chance, and you blew it!
Hey, man.
Air guitar.
Coming up, we're going to talk some NFL blitz. We'll take you around the league. Lamar Miller, I don't get it. We'll tell you what he's looking at. We're talking about Texans running back Lamar Miller, what's going on there, some other stories in and around the NFL that are happening, and more on the NBA Finals as well. We're going to get caught up with Chris McCann, midfielder for our Atlanta United. Big match tomorrow. Mike and I were talking about this with the roof open, you know, and it's raining, at least here in Midtown, which means it's probably raining downtown. And the roof being open. Now, the turf is built to take on rain. If you've been to the matches, you see them watering the turf before the match. Right. That's not a big deal. But you were talking about the scoreboard. Guys, I don't know. We hadn't had the roof open when it's rained to know what the deal is.
I presume the only reason I ask is we spoke to a couple of guys over the course of the construction of Mercedes-Benz, and then some of these guys were contractors who worked in different departments of the construction, but some of the guys did tell us that, you know, when they had some of the leaks in the roof, that they worried about the, you know, the scoreboard being compromised, maybe from the back, in, not actually from the front, but from the inside out. Either way, I presume the powers that be got a plan, because the roof, as we said, come hell or high water, was going to be open for 10 days straight. But I can't wait. I love the atmosphere. We only had a chance to sample it twice, the Green Bay game, and of course only once last year for United. But it's just, it's what you paid for, and you can't wait to see it. So hopefully the Mother Nature will cooperate on Saturday night against Philadelphia Union. But the work continues, because I saw it from my balcony, a lot of stuff going on up there.
With the roof?
Yep.
Yeah. And again, if you're not familiar with it, basically they're trying to get all these computers to talk to each other. That's how it was described to us back in the fall, and they really couldn't work on it during the football season.
Right. So I mean, the idea is optimally you press a button, and what, within 12 minutes?
12 minutes. It's supposed to open, you know, and close fairly quickly with ease. But until they get all that worked out, but they've had the roof open for 10 consecutive days, basically getting that worked out. The other thing is, when the owners' meetings were in town, and Mike, you were out of town on your vacay, but the owners, one of the things that came out of that was they want the roof open for the Super Bowl, which, you know, again, it makes sense. Don't know what kind of weather we're going to get in February when it rolls around. Hopefully we get a great day and they're able to do that. But they had said if it's possible, they want the roof open.
Initially, the SEC had talked about they wanted a closed environment for the championship game. And
controlled
the
atmosphere.
Well, we'll see. But, I mean, look, in New York, we were able to play. And remember, there was so much concern, the hue and cry about what was going to happen when the Broncos played Seattle at MetLife Stadium. And they actually got a mild weekend for that Super Bowl.
It
and
the snowed weather, yeah. right after.
Right. The weather did accommodate. But anyway, we love the stadium. It's got all the bells and whistles, and it's just so cool that we get to use it as much as we do. That's right, Darren Revell. I can have some Chick-fil-A on Saturday. But it is a process, man. So, look, it is the most complicated roof. You guys have read all the articles. The article that was in, I forget the magazine, but it was called American Cathedral, which really got into the nuts and bolts of it. It was kind of interesting explaining how all the different architects had their submissions for Arthur. These guys that came up with this one said, you know what, if we had a button that Arthur Blank could push, I bet you that would seal the deal. That's exactly what happened, because it was so dramatic in the presentation.
Well, listen, and this is, as far as the roof is concerned, it's the most complicated roof in the world when you talk about these stadiums. I mean, I'm curious to see what L.A. is going to look like. Vegas Stadium is under construction.
L.A. is way behind schedule because of the rain and some of the weather and other issues they've had in Los Angeles over the last year. But, that one's going to be interesting.
So we'll see. I mean, is the Vegas Stadium, by the way, Craig's in here. Do you know, is it going to be retractable roof? Have they said?
They haven't said anything about that. It's actually right next to Mandalay Bay. When I was out there last week, I got to see where they're building it. It's gorgeous right there off the strip, about two blocks from Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, so you'll see it flying in when you fly into Vegas. But, yeah, and the stadium in L.A. is going to be Rams and Chargers, both teams playing there. But point is, this thing is a lot more complicated. But we'll see what the deal is as they get the roof fixed, and more importantly, tomorrow to be open.
Looks like they got a translucent thing going on in Vegas. So it'll be air conditioned, and they got it as a roof, so it won't be, you know.
Well, the fall's nice there. I mean, you know, my guess is you could have something that opens up. If you've been out there September, October, it can get actually kind of chilly, November, December, depending. But it wouldn't surprise me if they have something that opens up.
They may do the Cowboys thing where it opens up from the edges and can let it in from the side right there. They may do something like that.
All right, man. Let it in from the edges. You sound like a tailor. We're going to take up the inseam, but be ready to rock and roll. It's Dukes and Bell, man. This is the show brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. Still talking. Waiting on Chris McCann, by the way. We may get him a little bit later as they are up at the training facility in Marietta, and it's the Philadelphia Soul, or Union. Soul is the old Arena League, but Union's coming to town. So we'll see if we can just get back to that kind of blitzkrieg thing where we, you know, get up early on the opponent at Mercedes-Benz. The crowd does the rest. Because it's just been a very herky-jerky last couple of games with a lack of rhythm, and the refereeing has gone along with some of the problems here. But as we said to start the show, Carl, you cannot complain ultimately about the refs, because over the course of this long season, you'll get breaks, and we got breaks early, and now we got to capitalize on scoring opportunities, which they have not been able to do.
I thought Sporting KC played us well. I thought the Red Bulls played us well. I did. And
Red Bulls outplayed us in the second half. We lost our composure, truthfully.
And then, you know, this last match, we all said it. It was a draw that felt like an L. So, you know, where do you go from here? You regroup, and hopefully you get some goals on the board. The thing, though, that may be a concern is, and we'll talk to Chris about this, you know, as far as the injuries are concerned, Mike, when you start looking at what's going on, it looks like, and I was just talking about this, or looking at this, Vialba. Tito apparently is questionable. Okay. Vialba is questionable for tomorrow's game.
Yep, but we do get Leandro Gonzalez-Pires back. He was missing the New England game because of the yellow card accumulation. You get too many yellow cards, and you got to sit. Julian Gressel does a fantastic job. Perhaps we'll see. You know, again, just continue to see Michael Parker's pick up the slack. Garza is out, as we know, for an extended period with that shoulder surgery, the torn labrum. But, you know, the good news is we got a lot of depth. Like, we don't have to worry about the defense, because if Barco and Almiron are doing their thing with Joseph, you know, and putting the ball in the basket, there you go, that's twice I've screwed it up. Putting the ball in the net, you're going to be...
Well, that's what J.R. should have done last night. J.R. should have put it back in the basket.
And by the way, should he just did the put back, or should he just looked over his shoulder, kicked it to LeBron?
No, you put that up. You're in the lane. That's a three-footer. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you could clown around and make that 9 out of 10 times you're an NBA guy, you know?
And it's funny because, and when I was talking today, and we'll talk plenty more. Again, we're waiting on Chris McCann, so United fans, we're waiting on him. We'll talk to him coming up. But we were going round and round with some listeners, and these are the diehard, but as I said, Carl, to start the show, those diehard Michael Jordan guys, they just won't let it rest. It's like, yeah, well, I go, because I tweeted out, yeah, Michael never had to play with J.R. Smith. And then these guys go, yeah, he had to play with Rodman. Oh, you mean the Hall of Famer, Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, right.
You know, Defensive Player of the Year, Rebound King, you know, that guy? Because by today's NBA standards, Dennis Rodman is no nuttier than Draymond Green or Joel Embiid.
But he's better. Rodman won everywhere he went.
But I mean, Jordan fans, at least make a decent argument. And I was one of you guys. Sometimes you got to pivot from your argument. You start to sound like a rustic, like you got, you know, dust on your shoes. You sound like a knucklehead.
I covered Rodman, and I've talked about this, partied with him after his crazy days of wearing dresses and whatnot. Here's the deal. Dennis was the only guy that ever was around that would go, I'm going to get 25 boys tonight, and would go do it. And you'd be like, yeah, all right, man, whatever. And you look up, and Dennis would have 25 and 6 points. And you'd go, yeah, anytime he wanted to dominate. And there was a time, Mike, defensively, that's crap if you're going to bring Dennis Rodman into it. He could shut down guys. He was a great defensive player.
I mean, the true liability early for the Bulls was Bill Cartwright at times, because he couldn't do some of the things that Phil Jackson wanted him to do. And Michael would be yelling at him. Well-documented, Michael got into it with Kerr. You know, like, I get all that, but I just think you're looking at a different set. It's a different set of circumstances involving LeBron. And you're watching a guy go for 51 last night with a bunch of bums, save for Kevin Love.
This just in, speaking of Kevin Love, he will not face suspension after the end of game one. You go, wait a minute, Love wasn't involved in anything. He came off the bench. Yeah. And when the shove to the face by, you know, with the ball by Tristan Thompson to Draymond's face, Love got up and was on the court. Just in, he will not be suspended for game two. Mm-hmm. No update has been given on Tristan Thompson, who might face suspension after the shove of the ball. Remember, he had already been thrown out of the game when that happened. He was basically on his way to the locker room with 2.6 seconds left in the game. So do you think they suspend him, or you think the NBA goes, no way, we let this play out? It hurts the game.
You know, the NHL has strictly enforced all this stuff in the postseason this year for the first time. They're really calling penalties, not letting guys get away with murder. I don't know about the NBA because they got to have this and go more than four games.
I think he's not suspended. I mean, I'd be surprised.
I'm just saying, if you want, I mean,
game was over, yeah. Right? He's already been kicked out. Mm-hmm. He's got the flagrant two. If he gets another one, you know, I mean, we're talking about in this series. I don't know if that'll happen, but I just don't think the league's going to do that if you want a competitive series.
But we've seen the league. We talked about the Western Conference Finals when they had the Suns versus the Spurs.
That was huge.
And Amari Stoudemire got thrown out and Marion got put one foot, right. One toe on the court. I mean, you already have set a precedent. You got to throw that guy out.
That was David Stern. I ran a tighter ship. So Silver is all about the marketing and the ratings.
He is. Love will not be suspended for game two. So that news just in. Hey, hit us up 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to come back. We'll tell you the latest on where Julio is.
By the way, some people are getting upset about the situation. I don't think you should be losing your mind over this one, Carl.
Well, no, not a charity event. The fact that you don't think he's getting the reps that maybe we think he should be getting, well, yeah, I'm upset about that, but not the fact that he's at a charity event. I'm all good with that, man. We'll get into it. Lamar Miller wants AP. A bunch of stuff going on in and around the NFL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.